to this Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Episode number 45. Welcome to this week's episode. Before we get into the main topic for today, which will also be the basis for the next assignment, which starts immediately, I'd like to announce the winners of the Rainy Days assignment. There was a bit more interest and a little bit more participation in this second assignment than the first, and the standard of images submitted was also very high again. Thanks to all of those that got involved, and I hope that it helped you to get out and to do something that you might not normally have done. So on to the winners of the assignment. I myself have had a pretty tough time voting for this assignment, as there were a number of images that I really I had a tough time choosing between. The result though, of course, is that we all voted, and as a community we've sort of pushed one of these images to the top. Well, three in fact, as I'm going to announce the top three as before. So in third place is GN Agent, real name Greg Aumann, with an image from just down the road from where I live here in Tokyo. The image is called Rainy Crossing. If you are entering the number of the image to view it on the website, then this one is M1697. That's M for member, 1697. This is a pedestrian crossing in Shibuya, teeming with people crossing the road in the rain, all holding umbrellas. There's so much to see in this shot, with a slight opening in the middle allowing us to first focus on the two young women that occupy that space, and our eyes can then wander around the rest of the subjects in the image. I personally go up to the guy talking on the cell phone, slightly up to the right of the center. The guy with the bright blue umbrella. I then find myself literally just going around and around the image, exploring all of the other details. Absolutely great image. Well done, Greg. In second place is Mojo Yugen's real name Brian Schultz, with it's an untitled image of a tree trunk reflected in two puddles, with a yellow line painted on the road intersecting in the opposite direction to the angle of the divide between the puddles themselves. Take a look at image number M1780. You'll notice that Brian has exposed for the tree trunk, allowing the foreground of the shot to go a little dark, which really helps to bring out the tree trunk itself. So well done to Brian too, second place, again a great shot. And the winner is a member that's only a member on the gallery right now. And I'm not sure how you say this. It's either A to the J or A Toth J with After the Rain. This is, again, a great shot of the crank of a bicycle covered with raindrops. And the image is M1779. I really like the detail and the colours of this image, and the way the green, the white areas of the background are intersected perfectly with the bar and the chain of the bicycle, so that you can't see where they join. Excellent image. Again, congratulations, A to the J or A Toth J. You will be able to select a image of your choice from my online gallery. The size the one that you want, the finish, the paper type, anything you like. And I will post that directly to your door once I've managed to make contact with you. Also, I noticed that like I said earlier, you've not got an account in the main site, so please do sign up on the main site so that we can contact you in the forum. Now let's move on to today's main topic and set the stage for the next assignment, which is going to be depicting culture. Part of the wonder of photography is that it gives us a tool to show people from different parts of the world and different cultures about our own country and its culture. Of course, there are also many different cultures in most countries and subcultures within these cultures, so it's not always an easy thing to depict. Also, I find that it helps to appreciate the culture around you when you have a chance to witness the culture of another country or group. There will be a little bit more on what I'm thinking about this with regards to the assignment at the end of the episode, but for now, let's look at a number of images that I selected from my online gallery at martinbaileyphotography.com that I think help to depict the Japanese culture. Once again, there are lots of different ways to view the photos I discuss. If you are viewing in iTunes or on an iPod, it's self-explanatory, but there's also a streamed audio version and all the thumbnails, descriptions and links on the podcast page on my website. If you want to browse the images on a pocket PC or other small form factor device, there's also a light version of the page, a link from the podcast page and from the quick links page on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com. First up, though, let's look at image number 182. In the last few hours of a trip to Hokkaido at the beginning of August 2003, this airport employee is captured here bowing at a plane as it taxied towards the runway. I shot it from an observation deck outside a cafeteria in the Asahikawa airport. One thing that I find with this kind of shot is that it's probably a lot more luck than planning. In this case, probably, you know, it was more like 100% luck, because I just happened to be watching this plane pull away from the gate and start to maneuver towards the runway when I noticed this attendant starting to bow. I found this to be very Japanese and had until this point not noticed this before, though it didn't really surprise me that much. I called this image Only in Japan. It may well happen in other countries, but the Japanese are particularly polite, and I think that there is probably also a certain amount of wishing that the plane and the passengers have a safe journey to their destination in this bow as well. This is technically not particularly a difficult shot. I used my 100 to 400mm lens at 200mm and selected a slow shutter speed of 1/30th of a second to introduce some motion blur in the plane so that we can see that it's moving away. The aperture was wide, wide open at least for this aperture at f5, and the ISO was 100. Of course, I was resting my arms on a handrail to steady the camera as this slow shutter speed, well, the shutter speed would have been a little bit too slow for this focal length had I not. Sometimes, though, the culture of a country can be linked to natural aspects that, rather than the actions of the inhabitants of that country or particular group. Take a look at image number 869, and I'm sure you'll agree that these Japanese red-crowned cranes in this pose make you think of Japan. Many people will have an image of Japan that is aroused by this image. The Japanese themselves include this crane in many objects used in traditional circumstances, such as the cloth used to make kimono or ceremonial clothing. I've seen wedding albums with cranes on the cover. The 1,000 yen note had a pair of cranes on the back for around 20 years until a few years ago. You may remember from episode 25 that I actually had the pleasure to meet Tsuneo Hayashida, the photographer that shot the original image that the cranes on the 1,000 yen note were based on during the trip to Hokkaido in February this year. This particular shot was made with the Canon EOS 20D at 400mm, f11 for 1/500th of a second at ISO 200. In image number 627, you can see that we can get a good feel for culture from objects used in various countries as well. These koinobori were captured flying they were hanging from a huge kite above the beach at Kamakura in the Kanagawa Prefecture south of Tokyo. Koinobori are called, they're basically carp-shaped tubes, kind of like flags that are flown all around the country during the Golden Week holiday. On one of the days during this week, Children's Day, on May 5th, basically is the main time that these koinobori are flown, but you'll see them around for the whole week and maybe a little bit more either side. The carp apparently represents the sons of the household because the carp is a strong fish that can swim upstream. The koinobori are flown to wish for boys, and probably more so children in general these days. They're basically to wish that the children will grow up strong and healthy like a carp. This in itself, I think, is very interesting from a cultural point of view, this symbolism. In the West, for example, can you imagine someone saying to their son, you know, come on, little Johnny, eat up all your vegetables so that you can grow up to be big and strong like a carp? Somehow I don't think so. This was shot again with my 20D and the 100mm, 100 to 400mm lens at 100mm this time at f8 for 1/200th of a second. I didn't set enough depth of field to get the entire line of carp and the kite in sharp focus, but I kind of like it that way as it gives the subject depth. In the next image we go back to an image of people with a shot of two little girls that were walking out from the Meiji Jingu Shrine at Harajuku after a blessing for the Shichigo-san, which is, it basically literally means 753. At 3 and 7 years old for girls and 3 and 5 years old for boys, they're dressed up in traditional dress and brought to the shrines in November 15th and around that date. To pray and to receive a blessing, kind of symbolizing the rite of passage onto the next period of their lives. Now, without this story, the cultural aspect of this shot may well not get relayed, but I'm showing this image now really because of the kimono. This is a traditional dress in Japan that is very much a part of the Japanese culture, as I'm sure you know. Showing items such as the koinobori or kimono are easy ways to give a taste of a country's culture. This was shot at f5.6 with my 50mm prime lens for 125th of a second at ISO 200. Again, this was shot with the 20D, so the 1.6 crop factor makes the 50D a nice portrait lens. Another image shot with the 50mm f1.4 prime lens is number 433. This time it's not so much what the lady in the shot is wearing, but what she's doing. In Japan, many elderly women drape a towel or cloth over their head while working, and to keep it in place they'll suck the edge of the cloth, as in this image. I spotted this lady walking along a busy market street in Asakusa, and I managed to snap a couple of frames at f8 for 1/25th of a second. I regret not having the time to open the aperture a little way. I would have preferred to have captured this at around f4 or wider to throw the background of the shot out of focus, but it wasn't to be. In the next shot, number 229, we can see how two cultures have merged. Falconry has a long history dating back to the 1st century BC and was popular in medieval Europe and Japan. Here we can see that the modern Japanese falconer wears full traditional Japanese clothing, including the split-toed shoes, yet he dons a flat cap, just like he's dropped by from the Yorkshire Dales or somewhere like that in England. Now, he may well have had a hard time walking around Yorkshire with those puffy tights on, but joking apart, you know, I really just find that it's really interesting to see how two cultures on the opposite sides of the globe are merged together in this very much Japanese historical pastime. Technically, I'm not that happy with the shot, as I don't like the large patch of distracting white in the background, but I thought I'd show it anyway for the cultural aspect. It was shot at f8 for 1/160th of a second at 400mm ISO 100. Let's just look at a couple more examples, starting with image number 191. Japanese ferries have a number of classes. You can hire private rooms or just pay for a single seat. But on all of the ferries that I've travelled on in this country so far, they all have a number of communal sleeping areas like this one. You know, the price is usually actually one above the bottom class. So you actually have to pay more for this sleeping type of arrangement than you would to actually have a seat. Most of you will know that it's traditional in Japan to take off your shoes when entering a building, and although modern houses now often have Western-style rooms with sofas and tables, most houses still have a room or two, if not the main room, in which you will spend all of your time on the floor, usually sitting on a thin cushion laid down on a tatami mat. Tatami is made from dried rice stems woven together. Here we see an extension of this tendency to spend time on the floor as the passengers on the ferry stake their patch on the carpet and sleep for their few hours on the ferry. This was shot at f5 at 17mm with my old 17-35mm lens for 1/25th of a second at ISO 200. Finally, let's look at an image shot on Fuji Provia film. Slide film loaded into my old EOS 100 and my really old 35 to 105 millimeter lens. In this shot, I've captured a lady in a kind of traditional workman's clothes who was raking leaves on the ground at the Golden Pavilion Temple or Kinkakuji in Kyoto. Now, in this shot, I've resisted the temptation to include the whole of the Golden Temple. We see the lady centered in the shot as she walks by, but the Golden Pavilion sits just partly visible with the red autumn leaves almost taking as much attention. I don't have a clue what the aperture and the focal length was for this shot, but I'd say it was probably around 100mm and the aperture around 5.6. This allowed the background to fall slightly out of focus, adding a little bit of depth to the image. Okay, so that's it for examples. I hope that these have helped to explain the culture of Japan a little, which is the purpose of this assignment. I'd really like us to be able to show each other's cultures from our respective countries or groups within any particular country. As usual, though, the final shot that you visualize will be or even stumble across, will be very much open to your own interpretation. Remember that entries should be shot after this point in time and not just searched out from your stock of images. The images that I've just shown you here are obviously like that, but you know these are examples, and I too will be out trying to shoot something fresh during this next 6 weeks or so during the period of the assignment. Another thing that you'll notice that I have not shown you one single image from England, where I grew up. The main reason for this is that I've spent most of the last 15 years here in Japan and don't really have any good photos from England that depict its culture in any way. I probably could drag out a few old snaps of me drunk with my friends, which is definitely a big part of the British culture, if you ask me, but that wouldn't be very artistic now. If you want to go that way yourself, mind, you know, be my guest. Anyway, what I'm thinking is that you don't necessarily need to depict your own culture. Part of being able to photograph the world around us is also to help us appreciate other cultures and to give others the ability to see what we've made of the scene. I'm often told by Japanese friends that my images, even of the same subjects that a Japanese person might shoot, are often different in some way to the way that person might shoot it. I'd like to think that this is down to my own individual taste and style, but there is no doubt, to a certain degree, my own culture and upbringing from England affecting the way I view and compose things. So you can use your own cultural perspective to put a different spin on what you see in others' cultures as well as your own. One other thing, I find that many aspects of the Japanese culture are heavily linked to religion. This might be true in your part of the world too. In many respects, culture and religion may well be inseparable. If you want to focus on religion or religious artifacts as your way of depicting culture, that's fine. I hope that none of the members here will have an aversion to being confronted with images of religions other than their own, and I believe that we're all open-minded enough to be able to handle this sort of thing. I won't go into any other ideas of how you might work this assignment right now. I know that you'll have your own ideas and visualization. So, you know, just get out there and capture what you think is fun, what you think depicts your own culture or a culture in which you're immersed. And, you know, have a good time trying to come up with a shot for the depicting culture assignment. So that's about it for this week. Just to let you know that the Depicting Culture assignment is now open and the album is prepared on the mbpgalleries.com members website, and it's waiting for your entries. For more information on general rules and guidelines, such as how much you can do in Photoshop, etc., go to the forum at martinbaileyphotography.com and click on the assignments forum. So here's just a little housekeeping before we close. I know that many of the listeners of this podcast also listen to Chris Marquardt's Digital Photography Tips from the Top Floor. If you haven't caught up with Chris's show over the last week or so, you might not know yet that unfortunately Chris has fell victim to a burglar and has had a significant amount of his camera equipment stolen, including his pretty much brand new Canon EOS 5D. So, you know, I really feel for Chris and his loss, and hopefully if any of you have listened to his podcast, I'm sure most of you have, you know, basically if you could go over to Chris's website, there is a link to help Chris out trying to replace his equipment by making donations via PayPal. The reasons for this basically is that Chris is in the midst of setting up his new business and he'd not yet got insurance for the gear that was stolen, so he's really, I'm going to be struggling to get that all put back as it was, or as it should be, so that he can carry on his business and the podcast and everything. So if you want to support Chris and you can afford a small amount of money, or a large amount of money even, please go over to the tipsfromthetopfloor.com website and help him out. The link will be live until August the 5th apparently, and if more than 5,000 euros, which is the cost to buy the equipment back, is received, the remainder will go to charity. So either way, this is a good cause. Another thing is that the nominations have started for the podcast awards. If you enjoy this podcast and you want to show your appreciation and help me to build on it and hopefully get a little bit more publicity, please go to podcastawards.com and nominate this show in as many of the categories as you like. You can repeat your nomination every 24 hours. There are lots of different categories too, so you can add lots of different podcasts in the various categories. You know, you may have a lot of photography podcasts that you listen to, some that you think are more educational than others, some that you think are more you know, just entertaining. So, you know, that you could go in and put and select different categories for each one, or you could just put me in all of them and press the send button. Finally, as of now, I'm not sure if I'll be able to produce an episode next week. I have though released an episode every week for the last 45 weeks, so please forgive me this one indulgence if I don't manage to get a show out. If I don't get one out next week, then I will definitely be bringing you another episode the following week, and I'll be back onto a weekly schedule again. So have a great week, or two, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.